Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Young, Beautiful, Successful. It's a podcast about Ariana Grande, and I'm your host, Gabby. So, obviously, today we're talking about the new album. Our last episode was about the single Positions and music video, so if you want to go back and listen to that, you can with my friend Daniel. We talked all about it, but today's all about the album. Have a really great guest. It's Frazier from GQ. But I do have one quick announcement before we get into the conversation. You've probably noticed, if you listen a lot, that the logo this week is new. I got it from an amazing artist, Nyjah Sherd. You can follow her at NYJA on Instagram. I'm really happy with the new look. Let me know what you guys think. And let me just get into the episode because we have a lot to talk about. So I'm going to play a song and then you'll hear Frazier and me. Just wonder, baby, if you're gonna stay. Even if one day I lose it and go crazy, I know that shit kinda heavy. I just wanna tell you directly, so boy, let me know if you're ready. Are you down? What's up? Are you down? Okay, so today I'm joined by, and I'm not just saying this, truly one of my favorite writers. It's Frazier. I know him from the Complex days, but he's currently the senior editor of entertainment at GQ. Welcome.
What's up? How's it going?
Good. So happy to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So I knew that I had to have you because I follow you on Twitter and I knew you were an Ariana fan. Would you say you're a fan?
Definitely.
Okay. So I know from your tweets that you have been a fan from the very beginning. And first thing we're going to do is go through a few of your old Ariana tweets.
Oh, man. What year are we talking?
We're going back to 2013.
Wow. Yeah. That's the first album, right?
Yeah. So this is 7 years ago. So get ready to go back. So this first tweet is from August 7th, 2013, 11:02 a.m. This is actually a two-parter. So I'll read another tweet after this. So you said, so is this whole Ariana Grande album going to be Disney-fied versions of classic NYC 90s rap songs? And at first I thought this was a criticism, but then 1 minute later you tweeted, is Ariana Grande going to upstage Drake with the hottest album of September? So that would be nothing was the same.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was a trend around that time that I did kind of hate of just like, because I think her first song, the first song is The Way, right? Mm-hmm. And it remixes Big Pun. So, you know, some of that was like a little annoying with like pop kind of just taking like old classics mm-hmm. and remixing them and then their fans not knowing anything about, you know, where they came from. But yeah. I think she kind of very quickly established herself as like not a culture vulture. Yeah. And, you know, also the music was just like too undeniable, I think, immediately. Like, you're just fronting if you say that's not a good song.
Do you feel like her first album was better than Nothing Was the Same?
No. Okay. But it is a very good first album. I would definitely... So to kind of bring it full circle, I think this weekend, I tweeted, like, I saw people saying that it was still, like, a pleasant surprise. That, like, oh, my God, this Ariana Grande album is so good. And it's kind of like, guys, I feel like we've been through this for, like, the last 3 or 5 years, you know? Mm-hmm. Even if, like, I would say, what's the fourth album? It's Sweetener, right?
The fourth, yeah, Sweetener.
That's, like, the first album that I enjoy top to bottom. Mm-hmm. But she's been making like very good albums from the start, so you know, it's like I would say it's weird to act like she only just got or just started making pop that everyone besides like Victoria's fans could enjoy,
right? Do you feel like she's not taken seriously because of her Nickelodeon background or because
no? I don't think it's anything personal with her. I think even in 2020, pop always just has like a stigma,
you know? Why do you think that is?
I mean, not to get like Twitter woke with it, just like just facts. It's just some kind of like ingrained, maybe misogyny is not the word. Maybe I'm looking for another word, but it's like I do think there's like a factor of anything that's like deemed for like young girls.
Yeah.
Is just not good, not genuinely good, or not to be taken like seriously.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is really true. I think teen girls actually usually like the hardest shit.
So true. So I also wanted to bring up that Drake album because that was also a really high profile leak. And this album leaked Positions. So what do you feel about leaks, or do you feel like it impacted the release at all, or did it matter?
No, it's changed for me, especially because of, like, for one thing, it's like work now, you know? So if an album leaks, that's like an advantage for me to get ahead of it, see what some of the narratives are around it, what we want to cover, you know, like I just can't pass that up. But back in the day, like when I was really younger, if it was an album from an artist that I like really, really respected and was already planning to buy their, you know, album, I would not engage with the leak.
Mm-hmm.
Also because like it just, you know, being a snob about like the listening experience, it's like, what is the leak? Like, is the leak the best quality? Is it going to be missing stuff? You know, so it's just like, I want to hear it how it's supposed to be heard. I think, you know, actually, I remember listening to that Drake leak. I think. I can't remember. But definitely around that time, I just kind of like adopted, you know, whatever. It leaked.
Yeah.
I still show support. Like, I still bought Ariana's album the other day. I actually still buy albums. I don't stream.
You buy the physical album or the digital download?
Not the physical. At this point, physical is like, if it's like, just like Jay-Z. And then it's, I just want to have it to have
something
it.
Something that you love, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just like put it on my coffee table or something. Like this, they don't even make Macs with like disk drives anymore. So, but
yeah,
iTunes, I would rather buy it on like the iTunes store than stream it. It's just weird that way.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like this leak didn't really impact her that much because there wasn't any like stunt or like press related to the release on Friday, and that, or even a music video, and also it's streaming really well, so I don't feel like it's really impacted her.
Yeah, it's not bad when it happens week of.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into Positions. So what were kind of your first impressions listening?
It's good. It's you know, it's definitely, I know she works in a way where she's just like kind of just hanging out with her friends.
Yeah.
And so I feel like something like the pandemic when then sheltering in place and stuff is just kind of conducive to her recording methods anyway. But, you know, it just very much feels like, and, you know, confirming it, looking through the credits now that it's out, pretty much I think Tommy Brown is like on every track.
Yeah.
So it's definitely like a close-knit album.
Definitely. And I realized that actually going back to Victorious, that she worked with Leon Thomas, who was her co-star on Victorious.
I saw that.
The Rascals. And I don't think they've worked together since her first album. So she's kind of going back to that OG crew.
Yeah.
And there's no Max Martin on this album.
So that was really interesting. It's like, it's interesting that you mentioned the first album because I was talking with another writer about this. I don't know if you know Natalie Wiener.
Oh, yeah. I follow her. I don't know her.
Well, yeah. She wrote the, like a Billboard cover.
Right. Yeah.
Not too long ago, I think. We were talking about it and she was saying how it kind of sounds like yours truly, a little bit like a full circle moment. And like you said, no Max Martin, definitely no like big pop, like radio songs. Weirdly, like the most radio song is I think my least favorite.
Which one?
Is it Motivate? Motive? Yeah.
That was originally my least favorite too. It's growing on me a little bit.
Okay.
I heard Ariana only did one interview with Zach Sang. I don't know if you watched it. But I guess the story of that song is that she sent Murda a playlist of diva songs. And the first song on the playlist was Vogue by Madonna. And so the beat that he sent back was called Vogue. Which I was
amazing.
Like, kind of like a cool story. So it kind of made me like it more.
Oh, well, it's definitely hilarious that the most poppy song on the album is by Murda Beats.
Yeah. Definitely. Do you miss like the bigger Max Martin pop on the album?
No, I think like, again, you know, we were saying how like she quickly established herself as like not really one of the like a culture vulture pop artist. And I think R&B Ariana is the better Ariana. And I think that's what kind of makes this album stand apart. It doesn't seem like that much of like a special album. Like she didn't really try to take too many swings with it. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I get like working with your closest collaborators, but it'd be interesting if she like ventured out a little bit, but it very much just seemed like she, like an album she made in the crib and mm-hmm. didn't like put too much overthought into. But I think what sets this album apart is that it is like the least, other than most R&B-ish and like the least radio pandery, if yeah. that makes sense.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I think that works for her.
Yeah. I do think that this is discreetly or like subtly a kind of a streaming era album because all the songs are so short and a little bit of like TikTok play, I feel like may have gone into it, but it's not like over 20 songs. So I feel like it's a little bit more subtle.
Yeah.
So do you, I also feel like because she doesn't have to tour, maybe there's less pressure to not do any like big pop songs because there probably won't be a tour for years.
I didn't think about that, but that's a great thought actually.
Okay, what are some of your favorite songs? Do you have a top three?
Let's see. I think on the first listen, which was on a leak Monday, I will admit. Let me pull up the track list.
Yeah.
The first songs that jumped out to me really were 6:30.
I like that one too.
Nasty and Obvious.
Obvious is my favorite.
Yeah, I think Obvious is, it has like the most plays for me, I think.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the sex theme. because that has been a lot of the conversation around this. I think the BuzzFeed headline for the review was it was her filthiest album yet. As I keep listening to it, I don't really feel like it's that explicit because I feel like the most vulgar songs are 34, 35 and Nasty. Yeah. And a lot of the songs are really emotional and some of them are even sad. And I also don't think that sex is that new for Ariana, but what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, that's also something Natalie and I were talking about. Really that, you know, she has kind of, I would say, I think her third album is the one that I've listened to the least. Just never really gravitated to any of the singles for that. And I don't really think
Dangerous Woman.
Yeah, I don't think I went through Dangerous Woman that much. But I remember some of those songs being like the first kind of like, okay, she's like fully shedding the Nickelodeon princess mm-hmm. going there. Like I think like Side to Side is on that album, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like Natalie and I were saying, like she's kind of been doing that and there's nothing really like newer or more explicit on this album besides like obviously a song like 34, 35, but even still she kind of like sands it down. Like you have to do math to really get what she's talking about. So.
That's true. And it's very lighthearted. And I also feel like it's kind of a joke in a way, knowing her sense of humor. I just feel like it's a song about sex, but it's very funny.
Right.
And then what were your, so you said you liked Obvious, that's also my favorite. And then your other one was 6:30.
Oh yeah, I liked My Hair is interesting too.
Okay, I think that My Hair, speaking of sex, I actually think My Hair is discreetly the sexiest song on the album that might get people pregnant.
Oh really?
Yes.
I gotta run that one back.
I feel like that's the most like intensely like intimate song on the album.
Yeah. It's got a good bounce to it though. That's what I like.
Yeah, definitely. And I heard there's an India RE sample on this, but I don't know if that's true.
On My Hair?
Yeah.
It could be, because it did, you know when like you hear a song that's sampling something, but you can't really like pick up what the sample is, but it still sounds familiar to you? That was kind of the reaction I had to that, so it could be that.
Yeah. I was wondering if there would be like backlash about my hair because there was a lot of criticism about her talking about hair on Seven Rings.
Yeah, that thought crossed my mind too.
But I haven't really seen any negative reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I
Yeah.
think she's like one of the rare pop stars who kind of just like genuinely learns their lesson and adapts to
Yeah.
stuff, you know? Like I think you won't find her in that kind of controversy again. Like she went through it and she's gonna sidestep it, you
Yeah.
know? Or less like a Taylor Swift kind of thing, I think. Or people like her, they kind of like always find themselves in things, and then they have very good PR machines and are just very good at getting out of it. But I think Ariana's a person who kind of like genuinely breaks down, like, all right, what went wrong here? And let's not have this problem again.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the features. What was your favorite feature?
I like The Weeknd.
The
The
Weeknd is my
Weeknd's like
favorite.
a little reunion.
Yes, I saw also on your Twitter that you liked Love Me Harder.
Yeah, Love Me Harder is great.
Yeah.
I like Love Me Harder too, because it's just funny how that was like that song exists as like The Weeknd's like whole agenda to just become more of a pop star
Yeah.
himself, which is really funny, but it's like a genuinely good song.
Yeah, no, totally. I like to say that she kind of made him famous because that was his first time on SNL was with her.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
now I'm pretty sure he's done SNL multiple times now. And yeah, that was a huge breakout moment for him. So I like that they reunited now that he's almost as famous as her, maybe probably m almost more now with this year.
I will say, I was expecting to like the Ty Dolla song more.
I feel the same way as you.
I'm a big Ty Dolla fan.
Me too.
Have you heard his new album?
Yes.
I love his new album.
I like the new album too.
I don't know. I was expecting like maybe a different kind of song, and then it just didn't go where I was expecting it. I don't know. So maybe it could just be like expectation versus, actually sitting with what they gave us. But right now, I'm not really gravitating towards that one. I was expecting a little bit more.
I completely agree with you. I had the same experience. I expected a lot more coming from Ty Dolla $ign. I liked a lot of their harmonies on it, but I felt like his verse could have been better. But I still love him.
Yeah, definitely. How can you
But
not? And then like Doja Cat, I don't know. Like I'm not a huge Doja Cat fan yet.
I love Doja Cat, but I also felt like her verse wasn't that good. Or it just wasn't very memorable. Or
Yeah.
I would have liked. She has some songs. Doja Cat has some songs that are sexier and like lighter, on her Hot Pink album that I feel like would have matched the theme of this album really well, but they didn't really do a song like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, are there any like producers or rappers that you would like to see Ariana work with that she hasn't yet?
You know, it's funny. I think she's not really a big feature person.
I actually agree with you because, well, Thank You Next had no features. And then with Sweetener, I would argue the features are the worst songs. Miss
Yeah.
You, Missy, Pharrell, and Nicki. I don't know. I love all of them, but I felt like the features are the
Well,
worst.
I liked Pharrell's production
Of
on
course.
Sweetener.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about who. It'd be interesting to see her work with Hit-Boy more, because I like when Hit-Boy goes pop.
I was going to say, actually, your Hit Boy piece, I get Ariana Google alerts, and you mentioned her in that piece, so your article was in my Google alert.
You know? Really?
Yeah.
That's great. I'm trying to think.
They did better off together.
You know who would be dope? Mustard and like Roddy Ricch are like trying to, are becoming like a little duo right now.
Okay.
Where they do kind of like poppy sing-songy stuff. And I think that would be fire. Like even just Mustard. Like it doesn't have to be a Roddy feature, but if she worked with Mustard, that'd be interesting.
That's interesting. I also feel like she hasn't really done a collaboration with a newer rapper. It's been mostly pretty established.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Rapper. So it would be interesting if she did a Roddy Ricch or someone like that. It'd be interesting. I really want her to do a Drake collaboration.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet.
Me too. There were rumors for a while because they followed each other on Instagram. So I think that started some rumors. And also, obviously, like the Scooter Justin relationship is there with Drake. But I would like that. And I'd also, this is very ambitious, but I would like a Solange collaboration.
Oh, wow.
Solange is a fan of Ariana.
Is she?
Yes.
Oh, that would be dope.
I'll send you there's a video of her from her Instagram of her dancing to Ariana. I'll send it to you. Yes. I'm surprised you haven't seen it. It's always on Twitter.
Yeah, well, damn. Yeah, that would be dope. That'd be tight.
Okay.
I feel like it would be Solange and an Ariana album, though. I don't think you would see Ariana on a Solange track list.
Yeah. Probably not. Okay. What did you think about the timing of this album? Obviously, we're going into election week. Did you feel like that was weird, or did it not really matter because albums come out every week?
No, I think more so, I think what happened is two things. I think a lot of artists obviously had big plans for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ones who could afford to wait sort of waited it out. And I think now they're getting restless and are just kind of emptying their clip. Like, I think it's going to be a busy fourth quarter regardless. Mm-hmm. Like, one of those classic, like, streaming and everything has kind of changed how release calendars used to work. But, like, classically, like, the fourth quarter, last 3 months of the year has always been, like, an insane A-lister period.
Mm.
So I think we might see just, a return to that for whatever reason. And then it's like we were talking about at the beginning, where it's just like, I think she just is used to holding up with the people she always holds up with anyway and works. And she probably, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I didn't see that interview that you mentioned. I got to go find it. But I wouldn't be surprised if like she made this album last month and was just like, let's put it up.
I think it may have been like that. The first rumors of this album came from Taylor Parks, one of her songwriters. Mm-hmm. She said that it was a similar like structure to Thank You Next, which they recorded all of Thank You Next in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So
I think it was similar to that. Yeah.
I will say, like, you know, the video for Positions is like cute, but ultimately does nothing for me, just in terms of like, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. What do you think of Dave Myers and his direction?
Legend.
Okay.
But sometimes he mails it in.
Okay. Obviously very legendary, and he's worked with Ariana a lot. I think this is their fourth video together. So I kind of would like her to work with a different director or something.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like, that might just be like the theme about her work regardless. Like she's shown us what she can do with all of her close collaborators, and it's very good, but it would be interesting to see her just take some risks. But you know, it's always weird because you see people say that like of Drake or any artist a lot, but it's like, well, risk, you know, they built up like a steady stream of wins, so it's kind of hard to say, hey, try something new that might fuck up that for me. So you know, it'd be cool to see her take risks within reason, but
yeah,
I think overall she could stand to like bring some new blood in all aspects of her art.
I would love that. I also think we haven't talked about her boyfriend, who I feel like influenced this album a lot. She does
definitely
have a boyfriend, a real estate agent.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like to go from Mac or Big Sean, Mac, then the Pete Davidson thing, which was like incredibly high profile. to then just like this, just this, like a real estate agent just sounds so vanilla. But I mean, you know, congrats to her. Like,
yeah,
she definitely doesn't need to entertain us with her relationships. If that works for her, then, you know, more power. But it is interesting to see, you know, to go from like her and Pete Davidson wearing like the loudest outfits all summer to just like some guy we never even really see.
Yeah, no, definitely. I will say it's not like that private. She did still post like for his birthday on Instagram, mm-hmm. and there are photos of him. So it's not as like locked down as the other, like Taylor and her boyfriend. Actually, I guess Taylor's boyfriend is famous. I forgot about that. But
he's like a C-lister.
Yeah. but she still likes to like be on social media with her boyfriend, I feel like.
The album's, it's definitely like a, you know, a love album though, yeah. Which is, I guess you could call Sweetener was like a love album too, but it was mm-hmm. also about like other things and like overcoming things a lot. And then Thank You Next is obviously the breakup album. Yeah. And I think, you know, just naturally the way things work, breakup albums are always more interesting than love albums.
Mm.
But, you know, it's good to hear. She definitely spun some interesting songs out of it. I don't think the album's boring because she's kind of a nice, you know, no drama, it seems, relationship.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that it seems like she's trying to, like, she obviously bared a lot of information over the last two albums, and it seems like starting this album with Shut Up is kind of trying to reclaim that, or, you know, reframe that a little bit, where it's like, that's not going to be the case all the time.
Mm.
You know, like,
yeah.
Obviously we know she's in a relationship. She posts about him. We can like attribute some of these lyrics to that relationship, but I think she's trying to walk back the idea that like all her albums are just going to be like diaries that, you know, we can pick apart.
Yeah. I love that. Did you like Shut Up? Cause I do like that intro.
Yeah. It's a good intro.
Okay, before we go, obviously it's been kind of a crazy year for women in pop. Dua and Gaga had big releases. Where do you feel like Positions kind of stacks up? It's a very different sound than the other two artists I mentioned, but where do you feel like it kind of lands in this landscape?
You know, I like the Gaga album, but I don't really go back to it. Like
me neither.
And then, you know, it was weird because the VMA has kind of like made it the Gaga show.
Yeah.
But I feel like they kind of inflated that album's impact a little bit. You know, like I don't mm-hmm. want to speak for like the Gaga fan hive or like even just pop music, which I'm obviously not as tapped into as rap, but I don't know. I think that album just kind of not came and went, but it's just there. Dua had a big year.
Yeah.
I think I like her first album a lot more than this one. So I haven't gone back to it that much, but you know, I'm just more of a fan of Ariana than both of those two. So, you know, I definitely think this isn't, I haven't read much of the reviews yet. I think this is kind of like a B+ album. Like, you know, Thank You Next was just such like a moment, you know, when artists have that, you know, it happened for Drake in 2013. It happened for Kanye for a couple of years. You know, artists just have that moment where like everything lines up, like the narrative, their artistic ability, they start pushing boundaries. They feel like, you know, the guy. And I think that's for her to drop Sweetener and then everything happened and then Thank You Next. You know, that was just her like imperial phase moment. And I think she's still in it, but this album is like very much an album that's not concerned with like maintaining that. It's just like a good album, but it is, you know, even Ariana on like Cruise Control a little bit is still very good. So
yeah, no, definitely, that was very well put. Thank you. I want to let you go. This has been really great talking to you, Fraser. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
Where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, both the underscore summerman, where, as Gabby pointed out, I tweet a lot.
Great. Thank you so much for doing this, Fraser. So
no
great.
Doubt. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I want to thank Fraser for calling in. It was so great talking to him. Follow the podcast at Ariana Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, and make sure you're subscribed. Rate and review and follow wherever you're listening. And let me know what you think of the album. Enjoy listening. And if you are listening in the US and you haven't voted yet, make sure to vote. And I'll see you next time for another episode of Young, Beautiful, Successful. Bye. Peace. And girl, you're so young.